The text is the gospel appointed for this week, just read. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you the one to come, or shall we look for another? That was an important question for a man named John, who baptized people in the Jordan River when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. That was an important question for John, because he had been appointed the forerunner. So he wanted to know, was he preparing the way for Jesus of Nazareth or for somebody else? You see, John began to have some doubts. He had been announcing that the axe is already laid at the root of the tree and that every unfruitful tree will be cut down and cast into the fire. He had been announcing that when the one mightier than he comes, unrepentant sinners will be consumed like chaff with unquenchable fire. But where is the unquenchable fire? John began to have some doubts. So he sends a delegation to Jesus to ask, are you the one to come, or shall we look for another? Apparently Luke considered that an important question as well, given that he repeats it twice in his account. It's an important question for everybody. Jesus answered, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Jesus answered by pointing to his works. Actions speak louder than words. As Jesus says in the fourth gospel, if you don't believe me, believe the works. To one like John the Baptizer, who was familiar with Moses and the prophets, the actions of Jesus spoke volumes. No mere mortal could raise the dead, give sight to the blind, unstop the ears of the deaf, cleanse the leper, and make the lame walk. His works testified who he was, that he, in fact, was the coming one. The entire human race could not, in concert, could not do these things. In fact, according to Moses and the prophets in the Psalms, only Yahweh, the God of Israel, can do these things. In fact, Isaiah 35 announces the day when Yahweh, the God of Israel, himself will come down mighty to save. And then the blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the lame will walk. The works of Jesus testify that he, Jesus of Nazareth, is the one to come. He, in fact, is Yahweh, the God of Israel, in the flesh. He is the one. John need not doubt it. You need not doubt it. Is Jesus of Nazareth the one to come? Have you asked that question lately? Christians don't ask that question. We bear the name of Christ. We have been baptized into Christ. We have been brought to faith in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We don't need to ask that question. But you know, sometimes, maybe we should ask that question. Is Jesus the one to come again in glory? At least then, we would express an interest in the one to come again with glory at the end of the age. For many Christians, the parousia is not even on their radar screen, even for some Lutherans. They never talk about it. They never think about it. Maybe they think about death, but they never think about the coming of Christ in glory at the end of the age. I wonder why not. No doubt there are many reasons. One reason is that Jesus made this promise 2,000 years ago, and he still hasn't come again in glory at the end of the age. Over the centuries, we've lost some confidence in that ancient promise. Liberal Protestants got rid of that promise long ago. They think this age is the only age there is, and so the church simply has to be about social, political, and economic justice. The lack of yearning for the coming one in glory at the end of the age, might be because we tend to spiritualize the work of Christ, to render a text like this as if it said, Jesus heals us of our leprosy of sin, he heals our souls, he gives us the eyes of faith. If Jesus is only concerned about saving souls, then there is no need for a resurrection of the body. And if there's no need for the resurrection of the body, then there is no need for Jesus to come again at the end of the age with glory. If he was only concerned about souls, why did the eternal Son become flesh? If he was only concerned about souls, why did the only begotten Son offer up his body on the cross as the all-sufficient sacrifice for you? If he was only concerned for souls, why did he shed his very own blood on the cross for you? If he was only concerned about souls, why was his body raised from the dead as the firstfruits of those who sleep? No, Jesus came to save flesh and blood sinners. Flesh and blood sinners like you and like me. And it's a good thing that he's not only concerned about souls. Don't spiritualize the work of Christ. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He opened the ears of the deaf. He caused the lame to walk. He cleansed the lepers. And he raised the dead. Thereby he ushered in the end time rule and reign of God that had been promised and anticipated of old. That end time rule and reign of God is active, dynamic, redemptive. Through Jesus, it invaded into the present evil age. And wherever it went through the ministry of Jesus, the effects of the fall were reversed. When Jesus of Nazareth came to town, the demons were run out of town. When he came, the blind could see, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk. Even death itself was no match for Jesus. Right before our text is the account of how he raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead. Don't spiritualize the work of Christ. His earthly ministry in first century Palestine was a promise, a visible promise, a down payment, that one day he will once again be the coming one in glory. And then he will do the same things for all of his disciples, for you and for me. Then those among us who are sick will be perfectly physically healed. Then the blind will see Jesus with their own eyes. The deaf will hear Jesus with their own ears. The lame will run to embrace Jesus. Then all those who are asleep in him will be bodily raised to have eternal communion with Christ. Then the kingdom of God to which we now belong by faith will obtain its visible consummation. For this Jesus of Nazareth is the one to come, the coming one. In the meantime, let Jesus continue to proclaim to you the good news of the kingdom and partake of the Lord's Supper, the medicine of immortality. Eat his life-giving body and drink his sin-washing blood. And pray, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Amen.